Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on Laetrile when we come back. Hey, are you concerned about your privacy? Well, how much does your government know about you anyway, and how much do you want your government to know about you? Well, government only knows as much about you as you tell them about yourself, and that's because everything that government, industry, or business knows about you is because you told them. Now, the Fourth Amendment protects you when your person, houses, papers, and effects, but it doesn't protect you from yourself. Now, can we have privacy in the computer age? And the answer is, you bet we can. Information is gathered and stored in a very reasoned and logical manner for later retrieval and use. It's knowing how much information is gathered, what information is being stored, and what information you want to keep personal and private. That actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy. Now, always keep in mind, no one knows anything about you that you haven't revealed by your own hand or by your own mouth. Now, if you'd like to learn more about privacy and privacy issues, just call and ask for our free general law CD package. It's a four-hour program, and it's entertaining, it's informative, it's educational. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. Just call the law school at 417-273-4967 and ask for it. That's number again is area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about Laetrile. Laetrile is also known as vitamin B17. It was discovered, remember, in the last program by a fellow named Krebs in San Francisco, California in 1950. He had been working on the project since 1923. He was a medical doctor. And this Dr. Richardson, he's not the only doctor. Now, this Dr. Richardson picks up on this, and he says, hey, maybe this will cure cancer. And so he experimented. The very first patient was the sister of his office nurse who had cancer in her arm. And she'd been to her doctor, and her doctor said, well, you got to cut your arm off. And then even after we cut your arm off, you're still going to die because this cancer is too far advanced. But we can slow it down. We'll cut your arm off. I remember a lady I read about here not too long ago. I reported to you about her. She had her breasts cut off, amputated, because she had cancer in her family, and she didn't want to get breast cancer. Well, that makes all the sense in the world. I could see the logic behind that immediately. You have cancer in your family. That is, you know, your mother died from cancer, your grandmother died from cancer, your sister died from cancer or got cancer or something. And so, and all of it's breast cancer. And you say, my God, I'm prone to getting breast cancer because the members of my family got breast cancer. So I'll cut my breasts off when I'm 15 years old and then I won't get breast cancer. By golly, that makes all the sense in the world. She's right. You know, if you cut your breasts off, ladies, you won't get breast cancer. And I guess, you know, if you logically thought about it, you know, if you cut your liver out, you wouldn't get liver cancer either. And then if you cut off your left arm, you won't get left arm cancer. I mean, you know, you could live your life without arms and legs. So if you cut your arms and legs off in advance, of course you wouldn't get cancer of the leg or arms. And if you cut your breasts off, I mean, you don't need them. People have been living without breasts, arms, and legs, you know, for hundreds of years. So let's see, you wouldn't have any arms or legs. Now, you don't need your gallbladder, appendix, tonsils. And if you cut all of those out too, you know, you wouldn't. Doesn't it start to dawn on us after a while that all these body parts over here have purposes and functions? You know, if you want to walk, you need legs, and if you want to do anything, you need arms and hands and fingers. And my old granny, you know, she's a pretty wise old lady. She said, if God had determined that you didn't need it, he wouldn't have created it to start with. I've always remembered that. My old granny. You know, we must need your liver, heart, cardiovascular system, you know, you must need your tonsils and adenoids. I mean, it's true, you know, you can cut your breasts off, ladies, and you can get by without them, but I think you'd probably get by better with them, don't you? Yeah, you can cut off your arm, but you probably live with it better. Well, this lady had cancer in her arm, so her doctor said, you've got to cut your arm off. Now, that makes sense. I mean, you know, if you had a bad arm over here and that arm was threatening to kill you, well, I guess it makes sense to cut your arm off. But Dr. Richardson treated this woman with this Laetrile, this vitamin B17, and the cancer just went away. Listen to the story. When Mrs. Siebold returned to her original physician for a routine checkup months later, he was dumbfounded at the fact that they could find no cancer, and yet he still wanted to amputate her arm. She asked if he would recommend that if he had never seen her before, and he said no. But because he previously had seen the cancer in her arm, he felt that amputation was the only safe and sensible course of action. Needless to say, she did not follow his advice. Now, any physician who deals extensively with cancer patients soon learns to recognize that certain symptoms constitute what might be called a preclinical syndrome. The patient has no identifiable tumor or lesion, and yet he complains of feelings of impending doom, malaise, unexplained or vague pains, headaches, bowel changes, loss of appetite, loss of energy, and depression. Now, I've learned from experience that a high percentage of those who presented a combination of these symptoms developed clinically detectable cancer soon afterward. So I was curious, therefore, to see what effects amygdalin would have on such cases. So I prescribed oral vitamin B17 along with other vitamins and waited anxiously for the results. They were exactly as I had hoped. In almost every case, the symptoms cleared up dramatically, and to this day, I have not had any of my patients progress from the preclinical syndrome to fully developed cancer. Now, I mentioned that to you in the last program. This vitamin B17 is a substance that you find in seeds. Seeds. And some seeds have more of it than others. Now, boys and girls, you have to have vitamin B17, just like you have to have vitamin B6 and vitamin B12. And if you don't, you're going to develop some symptoms. Now, the bright spot about this vitamin B17 is that you normally get it from sprouts. So if you're a person that eats sprouts, like vegetarians, you know, or people that eat a lot of sprouts, a lot of vegetables, and they don't eat much animal protein, which is good. See, it isn't that you can't or shouldn't eat animal protein. It's that too much animal protein is bad for you. And we Americans eat way too much. It's common when you go to the restaurant, you know, to sit down. I was at Steak and Ale the other day, and I sat down and had that prime rib. And I think it was 16 ounces. And I like to eat a prime rib every once in a while. And I ordered the 16-ouncer, and then I ate the whole 16-ounce and a baked potato, you know, a salad bar, and everything went with it. But the reality of life is we really only need about 3 ounces of animal protein per day. 3 ounces, not 16 ounces. Now, I don't eat a pound of meat a day, every day, but when we do, we tend to pig out. We eat way too much. And as we learned here in the last program, that one of the problems that you have with cancer is that it takes 75% of your body energy to digest all of that protein. And while your body's digesting that protein, it can't be killing or dealing with that cancer. That's what the bottom line is. So here's Dr. Richardson now. His very first patient comes out of it, and he saves her arm. And then he starts looking at people that have preclinical cancer, which I mentioned to you last time. Wouldn't it be good if you could just avoid getting cancer? And if you'll take this vitamin B17, now I don't think you can buy it. I don't think you can walk into the drugstore and say, hey, sell me some B17. But let me recommend the book and get you started here. It's called Laetrile Case Histories, The Richardson Cancer Clinic Experience. Simple paperback book. It's $16. I've got a sticker right on the back here. And let me recommend it. I'm not sure. You can probably get this book or a book like it. I wouldn't say this particular book, but you can get a book like it along the Laetrile, probably from any health food store. This particular book, you're going to have to go to Brave New Bookstore. I'll bet you Barnes & Noble probably don't have it. Now, it was first published back in 1977. And so if you'll go to bravenewbookstore.com. Remember, those are the good folks down in Austin, Texas. Brave New Bookstore. And their telephone number is 512-480-2503. You want to jot that down. Put it in your desk reference so that you'll always have it. And then when I say, this is Brave New Bookstore, or if you come across a book that you can't find anywhere, then these are the guys that will have it, or we'll find it for you. This is Brave New Bookstore, 512-480-2503, or you can go to bravenewbookstore.com if you're on a computer. They're in Austin, Texas, at 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B, Austin, Texas, 78705. Once more, that's 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B. That means down in the basement, B, basement, Austin, Texas, 78705. Now, Dr. Richardson over here had some bad experience. They arrested him. They locked him up. It's quite a little story, and it's an interesting story, but it's very common. You see, when a doctor deviates from the protocol, that is, they deviates from cut, burn, and poison, it makes all the sense in the world if you stop thinking about it. The reason the medical profession is opposed to Laetrile and vitamin B17 is because it's so effective, and it's so cheap. It's effective and it's cheap. Now, the average cancer patient spends $100,000 before he dies with cancer. So you're going to spend $100,000. Now, there's about 500,000 of you people out there in radio land today that are not going to be with us next year. You're going to die in the year 2008 from cancer. And thank you very much, because that's a $500 billion a year industry. Without it, our economy would collapse. So we thank all of you 500,000 people out there who are going to die this year from cancer, and the 500,000 of you who are going to die from cancer next year in 2009, and the 500,000 are going to die from cancer in 2010, and 2011, and 12, and 13. Thank you, all of you good folks, for sacrificing for the rest of us. Now, I'm not much of a sacrificer, so I'm going to take my B17. I'm going to avoid cancer as best I can for as long as I can. Now, the rest of you out there can do what you want to do, and I'll do what I'm going to do, but I would suggest that you think about it. And if you have cancer right now, I mean, you're sitting there and you're going through chemotherapy and one thing and another, that's fine. But you need to understand a very vitally important thing here. This chemotherapy destroys your immune system. And when it destroys your immune system, then it's a damn tough to cure cancer. In the final analysis, your immune system is what cures all disease. That's the final analysis. Your immune system cures all disease. Now, if you aid your immune system, I mean, if you build it up and you give it vitamins and minerals and you take good care of it, it'll take good care of you. But if you destroy it with chemicals and radiation, one thing and another, well, then it isn't going to be there. Now, the drugs can't cure. Drugs don't cure. Your immune system cures. So if you took that one away in your heart, maybe before you get off on this, I mean, you got a lump in your breast, lady. And before you run off and have it amputated, or before you run off and have these chemicals, why don't you try the B17? Because it's pretty fast. In just a few days, you'll notice some changes and difference. It's that good. And if it doesn't, you can always go back and cut it off. But why don't you think about it? Now, if you don't have cancer yet, why don't you think about preventing it? Prevent it. And that's just adding a little bit of dietary B17 to your diet. And if you'll do that, it'll build your immune system, and then you won't get cancer to start with. Now, that's just a wild new idea. Now, he goes on to say it was inevitable that word of what we were doing is going to get around quickly. Our office was soon filled with faces that we'd never seen before, hopeful faces of men and women who had been abandoned by orthodox medicine as hopeless or terminal cases. Now, remember that the allopathic medical doctor says we don't know what causes cancer and we don't know how to cure it. I don't know why anybody in his right mind would go to a medical doctor if he has cancer. I mean, you could go to the medical doctor to have him diagnose the cancer, but why you would want to go to him for treatment is beyond me. Because he already told you, I don't know what causes it, and I don't know how to cure it. You're terminal. You're going to die. That's chapter one. It just says you are going to die. And so they send you to a specialist, and if he can catch this cancer fast enough. Now, here's what kills you with your conventional medical treatment. They go in there with the radiation, and they kill the tumor. There's no doubt but what that radiation will kill the tumor. But you see, after the tumor is dead, then your body has to dispose of all of those malignant cells by the trillions or billions. And so you've got this dead mass of tissue in your body, and if it's very big, it'll plug up your liver and kill you. That's why cancer people or cancer patients die. This is why the medical doctor tells you got to get to us in time when it's early, so that when they kill it, you got a little tumor. See, if you got a little tumor and they kill it, then your body can dispose of a little bit of this mass. But if you've got a big tumor, the radiation doesn't kill that tumor a little at a time. It just goes in there and kills it. And then that big mass of dead tissue has to be disposed of by your body. It can't handle it, and it kills you. All right, so you got to go to the doctor. If you got a great big tumor over there, the doctor can kill it. We don't argue with them about that. They can do that. Now, it isn't just killing it. The B17 doesn't kill the whole tumor all at one time. It doesn't kill the whole thing. It kills a bunch of it, and then your white corpuscles go out there and they dispose of the bodies. And then it kills a bunch more and it disposes of the body. So it does it a little at a time over a longer period of time, so it doesn't kill you. So when God designed this process over here, he wasn't whistling Dixie through a straw hat. He knew what he was doing. People are going to get cancer. You're going to have a time in your life when you may come down with a big tumor and you need to deal with it. Now, if you go to the conventional doctor, he'll kill it. And more likely, if it's too big, it's going to kill you. So tuck that one away in your heart so that you don't kill this thing too fast. And then why don't you think about the non-invasive treatment first rather than second? Although many times people come in with these terminal cases, and they can be cured. Now listen to this. They came to us as a last resort for miracles, but we had none to offer. What we did provide, however, was a release from pain, a return of human dignity, a modest extension of life, and a vast upgrading of quality of that life while it lasted. Had this been the result of the orthodox therapies I had used in the past, I would have considered it immediately successful. But now, with a vision of a better way, I was not satisfied. So I continued to study and to improvise. Gradually, we increased the doses to 9 grams, that's 6 times per week. Tests were added to determine the patient's general mineral balance, and we began to stress the importance of all vitamins and minerals, not just B17, as part of the total natural mechanism. Our view of the patient's condition was expanded to include not just one or two malfunctioning systems, but the interconnection and balance of the entire body metabolism. For that reason, we began to refer to this holistic approach as metabolic therapy. That's what Linus Pauling called it, metabolic therapy. No longer were we treating the lump or the bump, we were treating the entire patient. Now, while the medical profession continued to think of cancer as a tumor, we recognized it as a symptom, as a systemic condition. A lump or bump is merely the symptom. It's not the disease. No wonder we doctors had failed to control cancer for all these years. We had been attacking the symptom and ignoring the disease. So let's talk about these tumors for a moment. Most of them are a mixture of cancer cells and non-cancer cells. It comes as a surprise for many to learn that in the average tumor, the greater portion of the tissue is non-cancerous. Now, no one fully understands the mechanisms involved, but it would seem that the tumor actually is part of your body's defense against cancer. When cancer begins to form, and if vitamin and pancreatic factors are insufficient to check it, the body begins to surround it with millions of non-cancerous cells in an apparent effort to seal it off and isolate it. In a sense, therefore, the tumor really is our friend because it is attempting to protect us from having its cancerous content spread to other parts of the body. So in the early 1950s, tuberculosis generally was incurable and almost always fatal. The treatment of choice at that time included radical surgery to remove the gone tubercle along with the lung itself. Today, such radical surgery is very rare, and most TB sanitariums have been closed due to a lack of patients. The TB lump no longer is viewed as something that must be removed at all costs. In fact, we now know that the body effectively encases the live tubercle bacilli, and that acts as a barrier against their spread. If we were to cut into the lump or zap it with radiation to shrink its size, chances are we'd only succeed in destroying the natural barrier and then spread the disease throughout the body. So the point is that in cancer, as in tuberculosis, our primary concern should not be whether there is a lump or a bump, but whether that lump or bump is life-threatening. In most cases, it isn't. Consequently, at the clinic, we have learned to view the tumor primarily as a cosmetic problem. If its presence is a psychological concern to the patient, we usually recommend surgical removal, but only after we're certain that the cancerous cells throughout the body have been minimized by metabolic therapy, of course. Now, if the tumor is threatening the life of the patient through pressure on a vital organ, such as the brain or bowel, then corrective surgery definitely is justified. And we're forced to take our chances at causing metastasis to other parts of the body as the lesser of two evils. It's a stopgap measure to buy time for a metabolic therapy to have a chance. Now, our critics, of course, say that this is quackery. They see the tumor grow. They watch the patient die. And therefore, they conclude that the tumor is the disease. Well, that's like observing a wet sidewalk in a rainstorm and concluding that the wet sidewalks either cause rain or are rain. It's like looking at inflation with its accompanying rising prices and then concluding that rising prices either cause or are the inflation. It's equally absurd in medicine to look at a tumor and then conclude that it is the total cancer. And yet that's the fundamental error that now holds back orthodox medicine, and which in fact even is written into the California law against cancer quackery. This law decrees that cancer is a space-occupying lesion, and that any therapy that does not attack that lesion is, by definition, quackery. It decrees that unless tumor size is reduced, and reduced quickly, the therapy is worthless. Moreover, it decrees that anyone who does not conform to these opinions is subject to criminal prosecution. So in Section 1075 of the California Health and Safety Code defines cancer as follows. For the purposes of this chapter, cancer means all malignant neoplasms, regardless of the tissue of origin. Now, according to Tabor's Cyclopedic Medical Dictionary, 12th edition, a neoplasm is defined as a new and abnormal formation of tissue, as a tumor or growth. Well, on page 57 of the report to the legislature by the California Cancer Advisory Council entitled Cancer, Cancer Quackery, and Cancer Law, we find the following criteria for response to therapy. In the evaluation of anti-tumor effect, only objective decrease in the size of measurable lesions can be accepted as demonstrating anti-tumor effects by the compound under study. Subjective effects such as pain relief, increased appetite, weight gain, increased activities are not evidence of anti-cancer effect. Now that's the law in California. Now, as long as this sophomoric attitude is accepted by orthodox medicine, and especially as long as it is forced on the rest of us by the effect of law, tens of thousands of people will continue to die needlessly every single day, and all of the million-dollar grants and all of the research in the world will fail to stop it. So what a price we pay when scientific error becomes enshrined by the law. So let me just pause here. Keep in mind here that my mission in life or my purpose here isn't to change the law in California, or to save tens of thousands of people who are needlessly dying from cancer. All of those people make knowing and willful decisions to go to their medical doctor. There isn't anybody in America, to my knowledge, that doesn't know that cancer is incurable. I mean, we all know that. You don't even have to be very smart. And we also know that there's no cure for it. And the doctors tell you very plainly, we got a treatment. We got a tumor, we can cut the tumor out. If as a result of cutting it out, the cancer spreads to other parts of your body and causes more tumors, which ultimately kill you, well, that's the breaks of the game. That's the way we treat cancer. Now, everybody knows that. Now, when you have an automobile and it isn't running right, you take it to a mechanic. And you say, Mr. Mechanic, do you know what's wrong with my car? I do this every once in a while. I have something wrong with my car. Take it over to the DX station over there, sir. And the mechanic over at the DX station, I said, do you know what's wrong with my car? He kind of smiles, and he says, yeah, I know what's wrong. Can you fix it? Yeah. But I'm not going to get at it now until tomorrow. You know, I'm booked up for today. You know, he gets kind of antsy, you know, if I expect too quick a service. But he tells me, yep, I know what's wrong with it, and yep, I know how to fix it. I take my car over there for 25 years. And do you know that he's never failed once to fix that car? Never, not once. He always tells me, yep, I know what's wrong with it, and yep, I know how to fix it, and by golly, he goes ahead and he fixes it, and I pay. Now, what if you took your car to a mechanic, and then the mechanic said, I don't know what's wrong with it, and I don't know how to fix it? Would you leave it there? It's just, you know, mull it over. The mechanic says, I don't know what's wrong with your car, and I don't know how to fix it, but for $25 an hour, I'll work on it. Would you leave your car there? Because if you would, I guess you need a medical doctor to take care of your cancer. I wouldn't leave my car there. If old boy told me, no, George, I don't know what's wrong with it, you'll have to take it somewhere else. I think old boy would tell me to take it somewhere else. He'd probably tell me, you better take this into the Ford garage and let them take care of it. I don't know what's wrong with it. I can't fix it. It used to be that way when they had these computers, you know, and your car go haywire. They say, oh, we can't fix that. That's that computer thing. You got to take it to the dealer. They're the only ones who know how. We can't do it. Now, old boy over here, he's got one of those computer diagnostic thingies over there, and he hooks up your car. Oh, yeah, I know what's wrong with it. Fix it. Now, this is where we are with cancer. You know, they'll tell you very plainly, we don't know what causes it, and we don't know how to cure it. Now they've enshrined it in law, and tens of thousands of people are dying. Everybody knows it. So if you want to go to the medical doctor, go to it. Don't let me get in your way. I'm not trying to persuade you not to. I just wanted to give you a report here that the medical doctors are telling you, we don't know how to cure it, and we don't know what causes it, but we can treat it for $100,000, and if you want to spend $100,000, get after it. Get after it. They need the money too. You know, all those doctors and nurses and cancer people, they've got mortgages to pay and car payments to pay, just like all the rest of us, and they need the money. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. We're open to individuals, but by prayer arrangement. And the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date. For your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour, an editorial review, gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program, they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. So for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember our website is georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. I guess I'll tell you that the book that we're reviewing is called Laetrile Case Histories. Dr. Richardson, John A. Richardson, M.D., is the author. John A. Richardson, M.D. There's another lady that helped him write the book. Her name is Patricia Irving Griffin. I think that that's a G. Edgar Griffin's daughter, and if I got this thing down right. Patricia Irving Griffin, R.N. She's a nurse. John A. Richardson, M.D., first written back in 1977, reissued or republished back here about 2000-something. Let me look here. 2005. Fifth printing, July 2005. First printing in May of 77. Fourth printing in August of 79. Fifth printing in July of 2005. Dedicated to Ernst T. Krebs, Jr., Ph.D., in the memory of his father, Ernst T. Krebs, Sr., M.D., and his brother, Byron Krebs, M.D., pioneers in the development and use of Laetrile. So there's your information that you need. You can get a copy of it from Brave New Bookstore. .com. Just go to bravenewbookstore.com. If you're not on the web, then take the phone number down. It's 512-480, 2503. Once more, that's 512-480-2503. All right. Talking about you are going to die. Now, Richardson's practice underwent a rapid transformation, and I found myself swept along somewhat helplessly by the consequences of my discoveries. So I continued to administer to the needs of my old patients, of course, but word of my success with cancer patients spread by the patients themselves, brought far more new patients than I could handle alone. So I increased the staff, tore out my x-ray machine to make more room for patient care, and soon my little neighborhood practice was converted into a busy cancer clinic with patients coming to me from many states. So the inevitable finally happened at 10 in the morning on June 2nd, 1972. Without warning of any kind, two police cars and two unmarked government cars screeched to a halt at strategic points around our clinic. Uniformed officers surrounded the building, and with guns drawn, nine men and one police matron burst through the front door, flashed a search warrant at the receptionist, and pushed their way on through the clinic itself. I was thrust against a wall and frisked for a concealed weapon. The nurses were confined to their station, and the patients, with one exception, were told to go home. I was informed by the inspector of the California Health Department that I was under arrest for violating the California anti-quackery law, and that his warrant authorized a search for any and all Laetrile, as well as literature pertaining to it. So by this time, agents were everywhere. They were looking in cupboards, pulling out drawers, checking the content of closets, even examining the books in my medical library to see if there were any hollowed-out secret compartments. Pause right there. This is standard bill of fare for the police. Now, this is intimidation. The reason that they do this is that this clinic here poses an economic threat to the entire medical industry, especially the cancer portion of the industry. Now, notice here that the doctor said just word of mouth. I mean, this guy is an advertising, you know, like Coca-Cola on the back of National Geographic. This Dr. Richardson over here, he's got a little family practice over here. All of a sudden, word of mouth has spread around to the cancer patients. Can you imagine what would happen if this went unchecked? You know, people aren't stupid, you know. They find out, this lady had cancer in her arm. Her doctor says you're going to die, which is the title of this chapter, You Are Going to Die. And Richardson gives her B17, and she not only doesn't lose her arm, she cures the cancer and goes about living her life, which is what happens in every single case. I mean, you know, if you've got a disease, you know, let's call it beriberi, you know, or you got some other deficiency disease. As soon as you take the vitamin or mineral which is causing that symptom, the symptom goes away. Once you take B17, which is the magic vitamin here that you need for cancer, you know, the cancer goes away. That's just that simple. No big mystery. Now, you got a $500 billion industry over here based upon the ignorance of this one vitamin. And all of a sudden, here's this doctor. He discovers this vitamin. And he says, I'll just prescribe it to my patients who have cancer. And pretty soon, they go tell their friends, who tell their friends, who go tell their friends, and so on. And pretty soon, this guy's got a thriving business. These people all want to come to him to get some B17. It's called Laetrile. Boys and girls, you don't need a doctor to get B17. You can get it out of peach pits, for crying out loud. I mean, this B17 isn't something that's hidden away or discovered by Pfizer and you got to buy it from Merck or someplace. It's not a prescription. It's a food. It's like vitamin C. Now, it is true. I mean, you can go into the health food store and you can buy vitamin C at the drugstore. Now, I don't think you can buy vitamin B17. I think it's outlawed. They call it Laetrile. Now, you can get it naturally in your foods. And I would suggest that, you know, if you've got cancer or if you're afraid of it or, you know, I'm afraid of it, I concentrate on seeds and sprouts so that I get plenty of B17. And then every once in a while, I bust open a peach or an apricot pit. When peaches are in season, you buy peaches, you know, we try to buy organic peaches, you know, from the grove, from the orchard. And then as you're cutting these peaches open, about every fifth one will naturally be split. I just take the kernel out of there and swallow it. Just taking, I don't chew it up because the damn things are so bitter, but, you know, I just swallow them whole. They'll digest, you know, your stomach. You don't have to chew them up. Probably be better if you could, but they're pretty nasty. Now, that's where you get massive quantities or massive doses of this B17. But the reason I brought this out here, and it's on page 29 here, when the cops come in, I mean, the guy's a crummy doctor, for crying out loud. He's not a drug dealer down on the street. This guy's got patients coming in and out of his store. When was the last time you went into a medical office and the doctor's carrying a .45 under his armpit? But see, when the police come in and do these raids, what they're doing is they're trying to destroy your business. So they intimidate all the patients into believing this is against the law and we're going to arrest you and throw you in jail too. And so then this has a chilling effect on the patients. So again, I don't make these laws. It's that the pharmaceutical industry and the American Medical Association and the National Cancer Society, they all team up together. And what they want to do is they want to put these alternative health clinics out of business. Now, you can go to Tijuana, Mexico. You know, you people live down there in Southern California. You don't have a problem. Hell, just get out of Tijuana. You can go across the border to Mexico, and there will be these cancer clinics all along the border with the United States. I don't know about Canada. I can't tell you there, but they got them all over Europe. And so most Americans, you know, those of us that have a couple of nickels to rub together, we leave the United States and we go to Germany or Switzerland for cancer therapy, cancer treatment. Now, if you're of the opinion that you don't want to do that, or you don't have the money, and you can't necessarily take off, you know, from St. Paul, Minnesota, and go to Tijuana, Mexico, you know, or Juarez or someplace, then maybe you need to come up with another solution a little closer to St. Paul, Minnesota. So my suggestion is, if you get a copy of the book, now this is called Laetrile Case Histories, The Richardson Cancer Clinic Experience, John A. Richardson, M.D., and I told you it's $16 from Brave New Bookstore, paperback, about 250 pages, about 270 pages. And then there's a section in here on case histories. Now, they cited 64 case histories in here of people with some follow-ups. Not all of them are followed up, but with some follow-ups, such that you can see, well, what happened to this guy after he took this treatment? Now, remember, Richardson, he's a family practitioner. He's not a researcher. A researcher would take 50 or 100 patients, and they'd take a control group. He'd give them sugar pills and B17, and the guys that get the sugar pills die, and the guys that take the B17 recover. And they'd follow these case histories, and they'd write all this up in the scientific literature and so on. Now, that's the normal protocol, but you can't do that with cancer, because cancer, you know, is such a big business that we can't have a cure to cancer. You're never going to have a cure to cancer, never. I don't care if you spend $28 billion a year, $56 billion a year, or $112 billion a year, there's never going to be a cure to cancer. It's too big a business. It's too big a business to destroy. So it's kind of like Citibank or J.P. Morgan. They're too big to fail. So government will come in and bail them out. They'll just print up the money and give it to them. So the doctor says, I refused to answer any questions until I'd called my attorney. I was denied that right. I then asked for permission to call my wife. That too was denied. Later, when my wife tried to reach me by phone, she was told I could not speak with her. There being no alternative, I sat in silence as they rummaged through every drawer and shelf in my clinic. They found no Laetrile, although several vials sat right out in the open. They just didn't recognize it when they saw it. Soon after arrival, the inspector confiscated my car keys and instructed the officers to get my briefcase out of the trunk and then take it for evidence. Incredible for him to know that I kept all of my most important papers pertaining to Laetrile in the briefcase in the trunk of my car. He must have been watching my every move for quite a while. The image of being spied upon from nearby windows and parked automobiles sent a creeping sensation down my spine. It shouldn't be. It's normal government bill of fare. And that's because government's not a servant. Government is a master. Government's a master. It's a master-servant relationship. And the trick to this is that you have to comply with all of these laws. Now, you can have B17, but you can't go out here and tell people about it. For instance, you know, I could open up a clinic and I could start solving people's problems. And after all, that's what people want when they go to a medical doctor. They're medically incompetent and unable to take care of their bodies. And Americans, especially Americans, have been trained from childhood to be medically incompetent. And your mother takes you to the doctor, you know, starting at age 3 months or 2 months or something like that. Hell, they start with prenatal. See, in America, we believe that pregnancy is a bad thing, that it's not a normal body function, that it requires some kind of intervention by a paid professional. So you go to this pediatrician, say, and this pediatrician, he's got to tell you how to have this pregnancy, ladies, because, you know, you just couldn't naturally do that. Now, cows out here, they just have natural pregnancy. See, pregnancy and reproduction is a natural metabolic function of your body. It's like going to the bathroom. You know, it's like cleaning wax out of your ears. It's just the way it is. And so somebody saw that there was money to be made if they would provide that service. And so American women, they like to go to doctors and have the doctor tell them what to do and how to do it. Not exactly clear why that's the case, but it's clearly true that that's the way it is. And so from the time you're a little baby, you know, you're constantly taken to the doctor. So it's nice, normal, you know, by the time you girls get to be 16 years old, 18, 20, you know, well, naturally, the only solution to pregnancy is a pediatrician. And so the cycle goes on and on and on. Well, same thing is true now with cancer, heart attack, stroke, or whatever it happens to be. You can't take care of your own body, so you have to have a doctor do it for you. Well, now the doctors have, over 100 years, developed a hell of a business. They've got all these specialties out there. And these specialties provide a very comfortable lifestyle, a very comfortable living off of the people who are now medically incompetent and unable to take care of themselves. Now, there's a solution to that. It's to become medically competent and able to take care of yourself. So I don't need a doctor. I don't go to doctors. Don't waste the time. But that means that I have to be knowledgeable myself. So, as best I can, I read up on things like this laetrile over here, which is a natural vitamin. It occurs everywhere in nature, and so or a lot of places, not everywhere, but a lot of places. And so I avail myself of it, and I haven't gotten cancer. My wife's had cancer for 30 years, and she keeps it under control, keeps it in check. And she takes B17. But you can't buy it in the drugstore. I mean, it would be kind of handy if you could just walk in and say, give me a bottle of vitamin C, give me a bottle of vitamin B6 and a bottle of vitamin B12. Oh, and by the way, give me a bottle of vitamin B17. It'd be kind of handy, but you can't do that. So since you can't do that, well, then we have to come up with a solution, don't we? We have to figure out, what are we going to do to solve that problem? Now, you can buy it overseas. And you can buy it in Germany, you can buy it in various places, and they'll ship it to you. Just send it in the mail. But see, you've got to know that, don't you? And how many people know that? How many people know where to go buy it? They require going to the doctor who can write them a prescription. They go down to the drugstore, and the druggist gives it to them. All right, so that being the case, then, if you're unable to take care of your own body, well, then probably you're doomed to die. I don't pretend that I'm going to supply you with your vitamin B17. It's against the law to do that. I'm not going to diagnose your cancer. I'm not going to prescribe for you. I'm a reporter, so I'm going to give you the report. Laetrile is one of 14 cancer cures. You got 14 choices there. And laetrile is just a god-awful good one. Not the only one, just one god-awful good one. So soon after arrival, the inspector confiscated this guy's cars and one thing or another. Went through his clinic, raised hell with him, arrested him, took him off to jail. And when it was all said and done, bottom line, now he's got a criminal record. And yesterday all he was doing was a normal run-of-the-mill, everyday garden variety doctor. Today he's a public enemy number one. How's that? And listen, it wasn't that any of his patients are dying. All of his patients are living. That's the worst part. I mean, if his patients were dying, he'd probably be all right. But his patients are surviving. His patients are living. And he's curing these people of terminal cancer. I mean, these guys, like the lady I told you about, his nurses, I guess it was his nurse assistant. Her sister has cancer of her arm, and he cures that cancer of this lady's arm. She goes out and tells her friend Agnes, who tells her friend May, who tells her friend, who tells her friend. Pretty soon, this guy's got more business than he knows what to do with. We can't have that in America. We can't have that kind of monopoly. And what's worse, we cannot have that kind of cheap medical cure for cancer. We're not going to sit still for it. So we've got to intimidate this guy, and if necessary, we'll kill this guy. I mean, if push comes to shove and we need to kill this Dr. Richardson, that's what we're going to do. Meanwhile, we think that we can just intimidate him and scare him. We'll scare his patients away, and we'll scare the living hell out of this guy. And he'll give up, and he'll quit, and he'll go off on medical missionary to Africa or something like that. Or he'll go to a different city someplace and take a job in a hospital or something on that order where bad doctors go to the hospitals. And then that'll solve our problem with this Dr. Richardson, and then he won't be a threat to us anymore. And we can get back to business as usual. Now, there are some self-evident absurdities and other orthodox cliches that go along with this laetrile. I mean, there's some absurdities that go along here. I mentioned one of them. I said, who in the hell would go to a guy that says, I don't know what causes your cancer and I don't know how to cure it, but for $100,000, I'll treat it until you run out of insurance or out of money. I mean, that's about as preposterous as it can get. But that's the way we Americans function. Now, a little over 70 years ago, writing in the Journal of the American Medical Association, Dr. Robert Rayburn and Dr. Roswell Park expressed the opinion that if the cancer rate continued to increase, there will be more deaths from cancer than from consumption, that's tuberculosis, smallpox, and typhoid fever combined. Well, from the perspective of the present day, that seems like an understatement indeed. Yet, if we had lived at the time it was written, we would have had to depend on the experts for advice on what to believe. The most expert around in those days was a fellow by the name of Frederick L. Hoffman, who wrote a book entitled The Mortality from Cancer Throughout the World. And among Mr. Hoffman's many impressive credentials, we note that he was chairman of the Committee on Statistics of the American Cancer Society, which then called the American Society for the Control of Cancer. A member of the American Association for Cancer Research, he was an associate fellow of the American Medical Association, an associate member of the American Academy of Medicine, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. From this, there is no doubt that he was not only an expert, but also a recognized spokesman for orthodox medicine. In his book, Mr. Hoffman quoted the prediction that cancer would someday result in more deaths than tuberculosis, smallpox, and typhoid fever combined, and then declared this statement on its face as a self-evident absurdity. Well, very little has changed since then except the date. Spokesmen for orthodox medicine, and particularly for the American Cancer Society, continue to cloak themselves in the mantle of their own prestige, deride any scientific opinion that differs from their own, and categorically denounce as absurd those things which they do not understand. Laetrile is the current victim of such scientific arrogance and ignorance. The orthodox medical establishment has a large bag filled with ready-made cliches to counteract any and all evidence in favor of Laetrile. To the average person who knows nothing of the background, they are extremely convincing. I think it's important, therefore, to take a closer look at some of these most common cliches. Since we who are proponents of Laetrile view cancer as a deficiency condition, we see all kinds of cancer as merely different manifestations of a single disease process. Spokesmen for orthodox medicine reply that this is a self-evident absurdity because the large variety of cancer types. To believe that there could be just one treatment for all of them is, in their view, an overly simplistic solution to a highly complex problem. Admittedly, there are many manifestations of the disease, according to one widely used reference, Clinical Oncology, more than 270 types of human neoplasms have been recognized and defined histologically, and the degrees of variation within a single tumor type can be infinite. Okay, so I'll put a bracket around that. Tells us there's 270 types of human neoplasms, 270 types of cancer. Well, okay. So, what causes these 270 types? Vitamin and mineral deficiencies. All disease comes from starvation or poison. A disease is a symptom. A disease is dis-ease. That's where the word comes from, dis-ease. I'm ill at ease. I don't feel good. So when you're feeling bad, you feel like I'm sick. And so we use the word, I'm sick, doctor. I'm sick, I'm diseased. The doctor looks at you, he examines you, he comes up with one of these 270, says, oh my God, you've got skin cancer. Oh my God, you've got pancreatic cancer. Oh my God, you've got thumbnail cancer. You know, if you had cancer of the thumbnail, it would be thumbnail cancer. The cancer comes out in different places in your body. And so you got 270 places on your body where you can have liver cancer, pancreatic cancer, or thumbnail cancer. I'm out of time again, kids. I'm going to cut it off right there, and we'll pick this up next time. Right there, with thumbnail cancer. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling The Law School at 417-273-4967. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.